the way home, the horse stumbled once, and the cowboy said, "That's once." The horse stumbled again, "That's twice." And stumbled again, and he got off the horse and he shot the horse. And so as they continued their way home walking, he heard it.
I haven't.
His wife complains, his new wife complains, that it's a long walk, and if he hadn't shot the horse, they would be riding.
This is
scary. And he looked at her and he says, "That's once."
Oh, no. I knew where that was going. So, there are jokes you used to be able to tell. Okay, so editing, and the second is we won't release anything. So basically where this is going to live is on the church website, and people will be able to listen to the audio file. Yeah. But we won't put anything on the website until you hear the final product.
Okay.
And you'd be able to be like, you know, it's going to be fine. But just so you know, there's nothing going to happen without the. And then in terms of, it was interesting because Verna got really personal, and that, like, she was able to share her story and some of the points of pain. I obviously had known about Jim and Dawn and others, but even referring back to like her childhood such in ways that, not specifics, but
she told that story
father,
in church one day.
Oh, she did. Okay.
She had the courage to do that.
She's incredible.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely incredible. And of course, when she left here, I told her that you guys were coming in, and she referred to you and your own, you know, terrible losses and all these things. Yeah. And the ways that we hold each other, like where we look at somebody else and think, how could they deal with all that? You know what I mean? And then you still have, and how some people can consider you guys. However, as I hit record and stuff here, the frame I have for this, because, I mean, we're the Weebs.
We're the Weebs.
So I've been calling this Weebapalooza. That's going to be the name. That's going to be the name. Do you know what? What is the something Palooza concerts? It's like a big rock festival. Yeah. So this is Weebapalooza. So... I am here with Hank and Jean Weeb, fantastic last name, and we're going to talk through a little bit about, try and get some of your background, you know, your own histories, maybe even where you guys met.
Not that story.
Okay, well, you tell whatever stories you like, and then your connections to North Lonsdale United Church through the years. And then we'll just see where it goes. So we're not like, you know, definitely say this has to be accomplished or anything like that. The overall idea is this, that we go to church, and many people go to church each Sunday, or, I mean, it used to be people went to church every Sunday. Now, it just, culture changes and times are different. But even people we know, even sometimes when we're around people for decades, you know, parts of their stories or sometimes you can even know their story, but we're just so caught in the present moment that, like, thinking of someone like Verna, who I just interviewed, to having heard her story, more of her story now, just when I see her at church, not that we'll ever necessarily refer to that, but in my mind, I'm like, oh, that's who this person is here. When she's here on a Sunday, when she's at church on a Sunday, she has in her history, her background, and sometimes her mind, that she ran that thing called Child Mind for so long.
Yes.
And that people came to the church through that. Don Blackadar said that's how they came to the church. He and his family was they dropped their kids off at that, right? And so I'm just chose this group of people for the first set of interviews here. You guys are the third and fourth people that are being interviewed. We'll do five or six this first round, and then we'll do some more, including people who've been part of the church for many years, and then we'll also, you know, be interviewing some people who are new to the church. So that's the idea. So welcome. With a strong name. So the name comes from you, I'm assuming. Who are your Weebs?
Who are my Weebs?
Yeah, where does the Weeb name originate in Europe? Like, is it Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Russia?
Weebs, they always refer to it as Russia, but it was actually the Ukraine that they come from.
And
so they left during the Russian Revolution.
That's right, same as my background. Yeah.
And
wound up where?
Well, as I remembered, my folks telling me, they wound up, I guess, in England as when they fled.
Oh,
and,
really?
Well, they went to Germany and then to England. And from England, I guess the common thing was to
go to Canada. So was BC first?
No.
Rarely was it first.
Actually, it was Alberta for just a short period of time.
Okay.
And then they went back to Saskatchewan.
That's my heritage, is Saskatchewan.
And it was North Battleford area.
North Battleford, okay. Mine was Aberdeen.
Aberdeen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, in...
Actually, Rabbit Lake.
Well, that's 60 miles north of North Battleford. And
is that pretty far north or no?
No, that's kind of basically mid-central. About central Saskatchewan.
Which in the prairies is still considered north.
Yeah. But
where were you born?
In Battleford.
You were?
Yes. Sorry.
Rabbit Lake.
Rabbit Lake.
Yes. And
Hank Weeb from Rabbit Lake. I mean, we need to write a book.
I know. He used to have fun going across the border with his...
Oh, yeah.
At that time, it was just your driver's license. And it would say... born in Rabbit Lake.
It would say where you were born.
Yeah.
And they... Well, when my sister was asked the one time, they wouldn't believe that there was a place like Rabbit Lake, and she had to come into the customs office and find... show them on the map where Rabbit Lake was before they'd let them go.
That is so funny. So was it kind of a Mennonite community?
Yeah.
Not really. No, there was a few, let's put it this way, a number of Mennonites.
Oh, so kind of settled there.
Settled there, but never any big area. Just out of Rabbit Lake, there was a place called Glenbush.
Okay.
And Rabbit Lake and Glenbush had a Mennonite church.
And so then, how old were you when you came to BC?
6 years old.
Oh, so you're just a little guy.
Yeah.
So this is your life is here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you been back to Rabbit Lake?
Once, yes.
Just went
once.
Back with the kids.
Yeah.
I went back one time to a Weeb reunion in Aberdeen many years ago now. My father, who died 6.5 years ago, and was an only child, a Weeb. His dad, my grandfather, my papa, had gone from Aberdeen, Saskatchewan. The family was from Ukraine, mm-hmm. like Russia, Ukraine, and had come over in the early 1900s. My grandfather was born in Saskatchewan, but not long after they had come here. And he hopped on a train during the Great Depression and wound up in southern Ontario, Leamington, because there were a bunch of Mennonites in Leamington, Ontario, where Heinz ketchup was and stuff. So when I was a kid, and they, you know, going to visit my grandparents, that's where they were. But my dad was an only child, Abe and Mary Weeb. Abram and Mary Weeb. I mean, uh-huh.
His mother's name is Mary.
There you go, right?
And we have an Uncle Abe.
Uncle Abe, yeah. And he worked at Canadian Tire, and I remember as a boy, you know how this can happen? I would think... It's funny, how he was such a lovely man, my grandfather, just a beautiful soul, strong, but not loud, a man of few words. And his wife, my Nana, died a number of years before he did. And in those relatively few years, but in between her death and his, he would go visit my dad. I was out here by then, but... in Ontario, like he would go visit a few hours away where they were living. And my dad recounted to me that he would walk by his room at night, like the guest room where my papa was sleeping, and hear him singing like German hymns and old tunes and stuff. I got the joy down in my heart in German, right? Yeah. But my dad wanted to, this years ago, they were having a Weeb family reunion in Aberdeen. And so he paid for my sister and I, we were both living here in BC at the time, and others to go to this family reunion. And I mean, I'd never met any of these people, right? And there was a little bit of like, oh, you're the Weeb from the West Coast, because the West Coast is kind of like, you know, cosmopolitan Weeb or something like that, right?
Kind of uptown.
Yeah, so you've been back once as well.
Once.
Many years ago?
Quite a number of years ago. Okay. What would have been? I can't remember the
when
year.
When the kids were 11.
But
okay.
Yeah. So that would
and Hank took him to the hospital where he was born.
Amazing.
And it was just a little almost like a big country mansion. And they came out with a a stretcher and everything. They thought we were in trouble. We needed
to help. That is so funny, you guys. That's amazing.
They saw the license number on the vehicle or the license and realized it was from British Columbia and thought anybody from British Columbia must be
There's no reason to be in Rabbit Lake unless something's gone wrong. Jean, what about your history?
I was born in Ontario.
Where?
Pembroke, Ontario. My dad was in the Army.
Okay.
And my family were all Scottish. So my grandparents on both sides came over as shipbuilders.
They did,
to PEI, yeah.
Settled where?
In Prince Edward Island.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Where were you born?
Ontario.
Oh, yes, you just said that. You said I was born in Pembroke, Ontario. We'll fix that. Yeah. And so how old were you when you came out here? Because Hank was only six.
I was maybe 4 or 5.
Oh, you both were really young, so this is home. Okay, so you grew up here.
We lived in Vancouver for a little bit. And then my dad was posted in Powell River.
Oh, you lived in Powell River?
Yeah, and my sister was born there.
Okay, how long were you there?
About 3 or 4 years.
Okay, my brother lives up there. I go up there sometimes to see him. It's still not easy to get there.
No.
All this driving and two ferries and yeah, I mean, I guess people fly up there now, but that's a whole different ball game. So okay, so then what about, is it okay to, when did you guys meet? Or how did that all happen?
1960. I really don't want to get into that story.
65.
Just say okay. So you met.
No. Was it, no,
how long after meeting? How long after meeting did you get married?
66.
You the next year.
We went out maybe for a couple of months. Wow. We got engaged and then married in the August.
Wow.
And God willing, we will be married 60 years.
This is, you're already 59 years.
In August.
What's your anniversary date?
August the 5th.
August the 5th, 1966. And so August the 5th, 2026 will be 60 years.
Yeah.
Did you get a thing from the king or something then?
No.
Remember you used to?
No, I don't. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Married 60 years. We got stamina.
And so your life together, your married life has been mostly North Vancouver or entirely?
Yes. All of it.
Okay.
All of it.
Wow. That's amazing. And then you mentioned the twins.
Yes.
You had two children.
They were born 67. 5 days. 5 days after our first wedding anniversary.
You're kidding.
And we didn't know we were having them. And they were
twins.
Twins.
She knew she was pregnant.
You knew you were having something.
Yeah.
You didn't know they were twins.
No. We didn't know there was twins.
Wow.
The doctors hadn't realized that at that time until...
They didn't do ultrasounds.
What was that like? Like, how did you...
It was like, oh my God, what am I
gonna
do? What
is going on? I guess we have to take both of them. Like, they kind of get...
One looked like me and the other looked like Hank right out.
Boy,
right
girl.
Right off the bat, yeah.
Names?
Tracy and Scott.
Tracy and Scott.
Yeah.
And so Tracy and Scott grew up here in North Vancouver.
They did.
And then that, of course, you can go as much or as little into. That's what is that Tracy and Scott have both died.
They have.
And so as much or as little as you're willing to kind of say about that.
How
old were Tracy and...
Scott was
23 when he died.
And he had an accident or something?
Yeah, a cycling accident at the bottom of the Third Street Hill.
Really?
He was struck by a pickup truck and died on the scene. Well, I guess on the scene. And Hank worked at Neptune Bulk Terminals at that time.
Place, which is right near there.
Yeah, and he
so
came
the bottom of Third Street Hill, you mean kind of where Main Street is?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so sorry.
The steep hill. Yeah. Coming down. And Hank worked at Neptune Bulk Terminal. He saw all the traffic and the cop cars and that. So he went around because he had gotten a call from Scott's girlfriend that
something
they wanted him to be at the hospital.
Actually, it was from Mark.
Oh. Our son-in-law.
Our son-in-law, yeah. And
do you remember the date?
January the 26th, 1991, 35 years ago.
So January the 26th.
Anyway, I went to the hospital without knowing that Scott had been hit at the bottom of the hill.
Oh, so you'd already seen kind of the commotion?
Well, I saw traffic and this type of thing. Yeah. And I only was told when I got to the hospital that he had died.
And I was down at our trailer in Blaine, Washington.
Oh, you were. Oh, you had a trailer in Blaine.
I had no, not in Blaine. Where was it? Beechwood Park.
Well, you were at Blaine having dinner with friends.
Yeah, we were celebrating a birthday of a friend.
You guys.
And Hank, our son-in-law drove Hank down to find us. And he wanted me to come outside. And I thought, oh, I don't want to go outside. He caught me smoking. I used to smoke and then I quit and smoke and quit. Anyway, I said, you can tell me right here what it is. And he says, so I want you to come outside. And he said, Scott's been in an accident. And I said, how bad?
Yeah, of course,
he
right
died.
Away.
He died.
So who is this telling you this?
I just collapsed. Hank.
On the phone?
No.
In person.
Oh, you. Oh, so you actually found in person. Okay.
Yeah. Our daughter's husband drove him down.
Yeah. And our son-in-law, Mark, drove him down. So I said, I have to go back to the trailer and get my things because I had medications and clothes and stuff like that. So
it's like in those moments.
I know.
The whole time changes, the world changes. Then you put your foot in.
We were just in shock. I mean, on our way back, they had to stop and let me out a couple of times. Yeah. I was sick.
Yeah.
And I just collapsed. No. So, yeah, there was a long haul from coming back from that. Lots of counseling. And you have to ask yourself why. And he kind of lived life to the fullest.
Tell me about him.
Scott?
Yeah.
Did everything right twin, and we had Scott. who God pushed things him. To the limits.
Yeah.
And, he was a big absence in our house because
he was a big presence in your house.
He was a big
his
presence.
Personality kind of dominated the room.
Yeah. Here I am. How do you like me so far?
Our older son is like that, where he's a lovely young guy, but we always joke that like the room gets painted with his whatever mood he's in. You know what I mean? Like he's so social and so kind of just and people are really drawn to him, that kind of thing. But it also all blessings come with costs as well, right? That you have this.
Yes.
So a big absence in your life because of that. You said he was 26?
23. Yeah.
23. What was he doing in his life at the time that he died?
He was working at Midas Muffler.
He was?
Yeah.
He was. On Marine Drive there?
Yep.
Yeah. And so you had a service?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where was the service?
West Vancouver United Church.
Yeah.
No, it was at Hollyburn.
Or rather at Hollyburn, but the minister was from West Vancouver United Church.
We weren't going to church at that
point. You weren't connected at North Lonsdale or anything at that point?
Not at that time, no.
That's when I started getting connected, but not in the sanctuary, but I used to go to Compassionate Friends for 3 or 4 years.
So tell us about Compassionate Friends. I mean, I know a little bit about it, but for people listening.
That's a group
that you don't want to belong to.
Yeah.
It's a group of parents who've lost their kids. And it was Caroline and Richard Duncan that started that group because they'd lost their Susan in the float plane crash.
That's the guy I graduated with, Dave Duncan, who became a sergeant in the VPD. I think it's him working in West Van and stuff, too.
Yeah,
that's
he's
his parents.
Retired.
And his sister had died, right?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, he's retired and then did some stuff in West Van.
He's still working West Van.
Dave's a wonderful guy. But I graduated from Argyle with him. We were talking with Verna earlier, and our grad year was 1987, and Jim Buchanan was our principal, and he died in December of that year.
It was only 50.
And these connections that we have, meeting Verna years later, and knowing kind of, oh, you were married to the principal and to the... So... Susan Duncan, yes. So you meet people through Compassionate Friends. So basically, You said so well, Hank. It's a group you don't want to be part of or welcomed into, because everybody in that has lost a child, right?
Right.
Whether it's a child that was a baby or whether right. your child was
an
60.
Adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was no age.
Where your the child dies before you.
Yeah.
Which is the thing that we always say in life is like the worst possible
yeah.
thing. To, and that's so you connected both with the church, but so was Compassionate Friends meeting at the church or something?
They were meeting in the lounge upstairs.
Okay.
And I went for quite a while. Hank didn't go because it was too tough for him.
Yeah.
He didn't like it. For me, it was a safe place to talk about Scott after a period of
right.
time, because your friends can only listen for so long. They're
yeah.
supportive, but
well, and they can't understand.
And no,
and you can't
don't
expect
want them,
them to exactly. Yeah,
you
yeah.
don't want them to yeah. have to go there. And
yeah.
also, Scott used to be a friend of Susan Duncan's.
Oh, no kidding!
And Tracy used to go to school with the Polehammer kids.
Okay.
And the Polehammers lost their son too, so those two couples in particularly, they're still in their lives.
How do you, I know I've met one of your friends through Compassionate Friends,
yeah.
Cliff, who I go and visit, or
yeah.
haven't for
no,
some time.
No, he's not, well, he has
yeah.
lost a daughter, but he never went to Compassionate Friends.
Ah, okay, but you, so.
He's friends. They're
okay.
friends
just
from.
Just golfing friends, yeah.
Oh, that oh, that's amazing. So to know that he's not part of Compassionate Friends, but he has lost a daughter, that's...
Well, he
that
lost
true,
a
yeah.
daughter about,
yeah.
what, 4 or 5 years
yeah,
ago?
Yeah, I think
yeah.
I remember talking to him about that.
Yeah.
You have. But it must be... Some of these deeper things in life that we hold and carry, the moment you know, even if you haven't spent a ton of time with them, that somebody else has had a similar experience.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
There is a kind of connection.
There is.
That has a sorrow in it still that you wish wasn't there, right?
But then you can still find joy in that group.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We well,
had
the place,
a lot of fun
right.
because we traveled with these folks.
Yeah.
We used to go down to Palm Desert with them all the time. And
what it means to live after such terrible loss.
Yeah, in the beginning you don't feel you have the right to laugh or smile or carry on. And then for myself, I reached a point where I couldn't keep feeling that way.
Yeah.
I mean, they both live in my heart. That's how close they are.
Yeah.
But
well, and you
but
mentioned
I made
this.
A choice to try and move on.
Yeah. And you can't demand that of others either, right? That's
no.
the hard part.
No.
And you guys, we're, you know, looking at your 60th year coming up. And without, you know, being a minister and someone who's done counseling and whatever, not a professional counselor or anything, but knowing enough to know that, you know, sit with families who've suffered terrible loss or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that often marriages don't make it through such devastating loss.
I know a
right?
lot of marriages broke up.
Yeah.
Never mind going through it twice.
Twice. So let's briefly go to that, or however long you wait. We've got all the time that you need. So Scott's twin.
She got...
Remind me of her name again, sorry.
Tracy.
Scott and Tracy. Okay, thanks.
And she was diagnosed with MDS, which is a form of cancer, blood cancer usually found in men over 60. And she was a woman, so it took a long time
a
to diagnose
woman.
Her. Yeah, she was 30, wasn't she?
32.
When
Scott
she died.
Was, yeah, 32 when she died. She was diagnosed maybe...
1998.
A year before, yeah.
Oh, so she only lived a year and a bit after diagnosis.
About yeah. 18 months. Yeah. She had a bone marrow transplant, and even during the transplant, she showed signs of rejection. She says, I can't breathe, when they were giving her the transplant. And yeah, I spent...
So what's the date of her death?
May the 11th, 2000.
So 1991.
And then
2000.
Yeah.
Your two
she
children.
She had a bone marrow transplant and it didn't take, but
yeah.
she lived. Yeah, she had 3 long stays of 6 weeks each in there, and then.
Where? What hospital?
Vancouver General.
Yeah. Three long 6 week stays.
Yeah.
And was she at VGH when she died?
Yes.
Yeah. We took her. We took her by ambulance. I asked the doctor what would happen in the end, and they said that there would somehow be a bleed somewhere. And she came upstairs and, you know, called an ambulance. And they wanted to take her to Lionsgate, and I said, no, she needs to go to VGH.
Right, she should have been there.
She made it over there, but the doctor, Dr. Shepherd, said she can't even go through a CAT scan. So he said it'll be about 3 or 4 hours, and it was. But it was peaceful. I crawled into bed with her.
Good for you.
Held her, and I told her, it's okay, we'll be all right. She was worried about us.
You said she was the one that did everything right.
Yeah. Well, she was the one that got us to go to church when she knew she was sick. She wanted to be baptized because Scott hadn't been baptized. And her mother-in-law told her that, you know, she'd go to hell if she didn't get baptized.
Well, not a great way to put it, but not
she
at all.
She was married to a staunch Catholic family, so that's where that was coming from.
Anyway, so...
So you'd already been to Compassionate Friends.
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah.
So you'd already been in the lounge and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, we'd gone for...
Yeah.
But Dr.
This was...
Don Ferris was the minister at that time. That. And he was absolutely wonderful with Tracy. He used to come and visit her over at BGH and underline with a felt marker, you know, positive
certain verses and stuff. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear, whatever. All those places where, you know, what does it mean that it's not going to be okay in ways that we typically understand, but where someone like a minister, by God's grace, hopefully can call us to know, like you said, we'll be okay.
Yeah.
All is well.
Yeah.
So a very different experience.
But before that, when she was in one of the long hospital stays, she was getting married. So they got married in the church.
Wonderful.
Not the church. They got married in the chapel at VGH.
Yep. I've seen things like that.
And her girlfriend, Krista Poolhammer, who'd lost her brother, shaved all off, took her hair all off.
Oh, my goodness.
And was her bridesmaid.
Oh, my goodness.
And there was only a handful of people there.
Yeah.
His parents.
So how long before she died was that? Before Tracy died?
6 weeks?
Something like that, yeah.
I did a little wedding, a year and a bit ago, maybe longer. My friend Ken, who's a spiritual care coordinator, chaplain at Lionsgate, called me, and he, even though he's like ordained and could do this, I guess in his role, he couldn't or something, so he wanted a minister to come in and do a wedding for this couple, the young man, or the man, he was probably in his 40s, so not super young, but was dying and was going to die within hours or that, you know, the next day kind of thing. And they wanted to get married. They'd been together for some time.
Yeah, same with Tracy.
And it wasn't just like a legal thing for you know, whatever reasons. It was like, we need to do this before he dies. But he couldn't get up out of the bed by this point. And it was it an ICU or HAU? I can't remember. But anyway, it's one of those scenes like from a movie, right? Or a TV show where hospital staff's amazing. I know there's all kinds of bad stories too, but my goodness,
you
most
should
of the
have seen
time.
What the staff did. They
really?
They emptied out their nurses' room so that we could have a little reception in there.
Unbelievable, hey?
I made a wedding cake in 3 days, 3-tiered wedding cake. My friends all brought sandwiches and whatever. And
how was Tracy? Like how did she handle the diagnosis and the, like that's very
like a real trooper.
Really?
Yeah, we had a team that we did runs after, and we called them Tracy's Troopers, and we used to We used to do runs and things in her honor. We did that for about 7 or 8 years, and then I thought somebody else must have a story that they want to do that for.
Sure. I know that one of the bike rides I do
you
is...
You have to let go at some point.
Yeah, and things... One of the bike rides I do is raising money for, like, pancreatic cancer. Like, you ride up Cyprus. And actually, someone at the church, the Gibbards, know a gentleman really well who lost his wife to pancreatic cancer. And, like, and those kinds of things, you know, virtually everybody riding here is personally connected to a story of such loss or something, right? That, but yeah, so like the back to the reception and the hospital thing.
I want to...
Yeah, go ahead.
Sort one thing out. Tracy was married to Mark, who came down to tell us.
Oh, that's right.
And then they divorced 4 years later.
Okay.
And so this marriage in the hospital is to Jerry Santa Cruz.
And where's Jerry now?
He's, as far as we know, living in Surrey.
Okay.
And he had a house there, and he...
Do you know if he remarried, or...?
Not to our knowledge, but...
He kept in touch with us for about 16 years, and I said, I said, it's okay to let go of Jerry.
Good for you. That's a real grace on your part, right?
Yeah, it's okay to let go.
Right, because loss carries this sense of obligation with it as well at times, where you have this kind of... Well, I'm glad you filled that little piece in.
Yeah, because you'll wonder, well, how did we get to the sick...
Makes sense.
She was married, so how did we get to this other wedding?
That, well, the same with the wedding I did. It was the second marriage for both of them. And in this... I mean, I've done a lot of weddings, but this one was in the hospital. And, you know, he was hours away from death himself.
It's just moving, isn't it?
Oh, and the staff came and they stood around, and my friend, our friend Ken... decorated one of those little tables they pull over the bed, you know, as like a registry table, and it had flowers on it and stuff. And he had to somehow found, you know, ran around and found various things to make this beautiful. And he couldn't get out of bed, so the two of them were lying side by side, saying their vows and stuff. And you're just like,
how touching.
The places of, to use the word meaning, it's not enough, right? It is like the depth of what is going on here
is
something
so
that
deep. Because they've been together, and their plans were to marry, and somehow this finished that off for them, you know, to actually do it.
So she was she was 32 when she died.
Yeah.
And that, you said, was in 2000?
Yeah.
2000,
So you're 26 years
removed
from
2 days before Mother's Day, and quite often it is Mother's Day.
Wow. Yeah. So that must be very difficult for you, or is it still...
It was difficult. But I had a feeling that my twins were together again.
Oh, God bless you.
And that they'd be okay. And that, you know,
God
we
bless
told
you.
Hank, we told Tracy we'd be okay. So.
Yeah, sure. And you are okay. You are okay. You're doing wonderfully. But... the loss never goes away, hey? Ever goes away.
No, on the 26th, I went through that day all over again.
God bless you.
Like last week, so.
January 26th. My birthday is January 22nd. I'll be remembering that. That that was just a few days ago from when we're recording now. Yeah. So you get connected at North Lonsdale United through some of this.
Tracy's last message to me was, keep going to church until you get out of it what I did.
Well, we had met the minister there. What's the name again?
Don Ferris?
Was it Don at the time? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, Tracy, with her first marriage and her being involved with Mark, she... sort of had the idea that she had to be baptized.
Yeah, sure.
And of course, that's why we went down to see Don Ferris. Of course, he baptized Tracy, and that's how we got.
He says,
"That's
going. A lovely idea. When do you want to do this?" And
that's
we
beautiful.
Thought, "How's this afternoon?"
Really?
So there's just the four of us in the church, and Don, like Hank and
I
and Tracy.
Moments.
And Jerry, and we're just streaming with tears. And she says, "Mom, you keep coming till you."
And that's
was that in the sanctuary?
Yeah.
The room that we meet
and
in.
And you know where we sit? She sat with us there.
The reason she sat with us there because she didn't have any immunities to any diseases or anything.
Yeah.
And at that time there was a very small congregation.
And they had that side of the church roped off.
And,
when and everybody she sat on the other side.
And
the
when
right
she walked in the
oh,
first time.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh,
she
wow
walked in the first time, and she the seats that we sit in now, she was the one that chose that's where she wanted to sit.
See, you just changed my, like, I didn't know that. Oh, obviously.
Everybody says, oh, you got to move around in church and sit in different places.
I have no idea.
No, there was one. This is a...
Yeah.
I don't know whether you believe it or not. This is a story where Hank and I are sitting in church after she died. It was about 2 years after she died. And I just felt this little wind or whatever just come in and sit between us.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That might
you guys,
sound
thank
cool
you for your willingness to speak about this. What it means that we hold and carry one another, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to diminish or belittle or to make trite anything. One of the things I become aware of as a minister is that there is a ministry, like, of carrying sorrow, of like, what it means that, as we know, there's tremendous pain and loss in this world. But for the most part, many of us try to be or pretend to be oblivious to it. So we were just talking before about you and I have some similar back condition right now,
yeah,
where we can't walk or stand. And, you know, so we're going for x-rays and MRIs, yeah, and whatever else. And even something like this, the 3 months that I've had this back thing and sometimes been barely able to walk, you know, across my kitchen, it's changed. It informs the way I see others when they're kind of stumbling around or when they're right,
yeah,
that you, but there's something deeper, and that is that when you've experienced the kind of loss that you guys have, which is indescribable in its depth, without kind of shaking people and saying, don't you know how much sorrow there is in the world or whatever, to people that there's a ministry of kind of,
oh, we pick up
that
on that sorrow.
Yeah.
Every
like
blast on Ukraine, every blast on...
That's what I mean.
The West Bank.
The loss that can be there.
Oh.
And how... and it's not to accuse anybody or to... But how silly it is that we think we can be oblivious to that, right?
No, you can't.
That the rulers...
Some people don't like to listen to the news, so
yeah,
you have to.
Yeah. Yeah, it is amazing that, like, the avoidance we have or the... so
yeah,
I really
it's
thank
a little
you for
on the ugly side, so avoid it.
Well, or the truth is, and that's why we see scenes in movies or whatever where somebody is burying a child or they're doing whatever, and you're like, sometimes people like have to close their eyes or have the, because like I can't imagine that ever happening. I can't even, you know, let that enter my mind. But when you've been through it, you of course no longer have that option. And so it's like there's a bit of a veil lifted in terms of the kind of sorrow that can be there. And even though, like most people listening to this, will never face the kind of loss that you guys have faced. It's not to put you on a pedestal or anything,
no,
like that. But they never will.
I don't want them to.
Right. You don't want them to.
No.
But they will face loss.
They will.
And,
at some
and
point in their life.
Of course, right? They will hear that devastating news. Or they will... Or sometimes I think, you know, I used to think in my life, I don't know how... like. Even the ways that we hold prayer, something like God won't let anything bad happen to me or whatever, right? That, and some versions of Christianity can have this, right? That like if you truly have faith, nothing bad will happen. Or if you, and they're, of course, ridiculous. That's not what Scripture says.
We are all going to die.
Right, we're all going to die and we're all going to suffer loss. And the only way you don't is if you deny that it's actually happened or whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of my struggles, or not struggles, but because they weren't struggles at the time, but I've come to know since that like, my childhood was kind of rough, like lots of separations and trauma and all kinds of difficulty and all. And, you know, then sometimes you think, okay, well, I won't have to face things later. But you also remind us that nothing's fair in that regard.
Yeah.
Like people who meet you and just hearing these stories, like you know, you talk about Scott and then we talk about Tracy. People listening would be like, no way. Like there's no way anybody should face that once, let alone twice.
Yeah.
Right.
There's another thing in my life that I've carried all my life is that I didn't do well in school. I had learning disabilities, and I dropped out, you know, after the 10th grade.
Yeah.
And I took hairdressing. I was dyslexic.
Did you always feel like less than or something?
Oh,
or no?
Yeah, right from grade one.
Really?
And they just kept passing me on and passing me on, and finally I couldn't do it anymore. And so all my life it's been like ashamed.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. Like, I just, it's interesting.
And
like,
so I've tried another, like, my skills are all artistic.
Okay.
You know, like flower design, yep. Hairstyling.
Yeah.
What all have I done, Hank? Sewing.
Yep.
Gardening. Like,
beautiful things.
Beautiful things.
Yes.
And I made a tree skirt after Tracy died, because I had to get rid of all the red and green, bright, cheery Christmas things. So I chose copper
oh, wow.
color.
Beautiful.
And teal.
Yeah.
And glass and brass. And I made this heart-shaped, each piece around is in different hearts, and they're all done in this crazy quilting, and I'll have to show you one time.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a masterpiece. I don't know how I did it, but I did it in memory of them. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
I love both things, that first of all that you did that, and secondly that you say I don't know how I did it, because that's the truth too, right?
Well, I don't know how I'll show it to you one time, that it's very intricate.
Yeah.
It's very fussy. And I did it. And I made five of them for special people in our lives.
My goodness.
And I did them all different. I did one like a country theme. And
it's like something higher, you know, allows you to accomplish this thing.
Yeah.
And part of that higher thing is grief. It's like a working through, right? That, and where these toughest of all emotions get sent into.
Yeah, I had some sort of teal shaped beads that are on every one, and they're done beautifully in the shapes and that I've done them, but they're tears. And I'll have to show you this sometime.
Bless you.
I did a number of things like that.
You mentioned like this sense of feeling like you don't measure up or didn't, or inadequacy or whatever. It's very interesting.
It's hard for me because our friends are lawyers, doctors, and I'm always trying to.
It's funny though, like you, like I know,
fit in.
And we all know those people. I've very rarely, in fact, that if this is the case, that there's someone who thinks they've made it, or those feelings of inadequacy kind of are across the board. So I was speaking with Verna for another one of these conversations, and she mentioned that I never would have expected that with her. She said, I didn't really finish this education piece. I was never there. And I've always carried this sense
of... Yeah, I've carried it too.
And I never would have thought it with her, and I never would have thought it with you, right? That this is... And then you experience these devastating losses, and now it's been 26 years since Tracy, and you say 35 years since Scott. I mean, that's another significant part in time of life. You do connect at North Lonsdale United. You become, I've connected there for 5 years and a bit, or something, right? You've been there since, so was it around 2000 then?
That
you started going fairly regularly?
I started.
Oh yeah.
We started going.
2000, when...
But then you became like people who volunteered and showed up, right? Then you become part of the fabric of the place.
My skills are in the kitchen and decorating the church for events. And I did all the flowers for 25, 26 years for all the funeral teas.
Oh, you did?
I was doing all those. And,
wow.
But we had a lot of help from Rob and Linda Jacobson.
I knew Robin very well. Linda less so, but just because I knew Robin professionally.
Well,
and,
they adopted us as family when they came.
Did they?
Yeah, they had left their family behind, and we had just lost ours.
So in a way, you adopted one another.
We did.
Yeah, you were...
And little Maggie, their youngest daughter, has put our names as Canadian grandparents on their little daughter Poppy's family tree.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Do you connect with Robin ever? I mean, he's around sometimes. We're in contact. And he's going to the island or something.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
They've bought a place and they're...
You're going to get over and see them, I hope.
I hope so.
So
yeah,
where on the island? Is
Vernon
it like
too.
Qualicum Beach or something?
Qualicum, yeah.
Yeah, Qualicum.
Pretty nice. I mean, that's easy to get to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can take the ferry over to
that
island.
Their new home apparently borders on the golf course down there. I'm not quite sure.
Well, there you
I
go.
Know where the golf course
yeah,
is.
Yeah, they're moving on the 16th, or the clearing the house out on the 16th. And
16th of what?
February.
I thought they were moving like in the summer.
No.
Oh, it's that soon. Okay. Yeah.
And then they're going to unload. They can't get occupancy until the 24th.
But he starts a new job or something?
He yeah. does. But he has to stay in Vernon for the till the end of April.
Okay.
And so
Easter time.
Do you know Jan and John Wilson?
Yeah.
They're staying in their basement suite, which is just down the hill in Vernon. They're just two
Perfect.
Minutes away.
Perfect.
And they adopted each other when they went to Vernon. Yeah.
Unbelievable. So
They included Robin and Linda included us in Christmas, Mother's Day, Father's
And that became
and
then part of you guys volunteering and working, like doing stuff there.
Yeah. Well, so actually, Verna got us going.
Of course.
She
Verna
says, I'll give you a year.
Did she say that?
I'll give you a year, Jean DeGreeve, and then we'll find something for you to do.
Which is a very compassionate kind of thing, right? Where you
She took me out to lunch, and she says, you've got a year's grace here. and we got involved.
I love that. That's so good.
And Hank was always doing work around the church. He's a real handyman.
There's lots to be done. Yeah. You know who else has come up quite a bit in our conversations? Is Dave Rupert.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
you and Dave must have had some times together fixing things around the church.
Yeah. Did you ever see that living Christmas tree they
I've seen photos of it. Because it's kind of a copy of the singing Christmas tree at Broadway church.
Right.
But it was big, hey?
Yeah, Hank was in a part of building that. Pat McTaggart, Otto.
Yeah. Otto, yeah.
Yeah, because Pat's not been well either, right?
No.
He's back home now, but I heard Pat was a... So you were part of building that?
Yeah.
How many... Do you remember how many
And
levels
I said,
there
please
were?
Don't
like
go to the
six.
Top, and here's a photo of him right up there.
You're not at the top.
Yep.
You weren't in the choir, were you?
No. Okay. I'm building it.
Building it.
Yeah, you're the set man. Making things happen. How many years did they do that?
Three or four.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
I know. And then I used to, with a team, decorate it.
Oh,
with
yeah.
the green fabric on it and hang ornaments. And.
So was that in Robin's time?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it was his brainwave. He had a number of them.
Oh, he sure did. There's some good Robin stories that I have too, but I'll interview him one time to kind of.
You should see the pictures he did when Hank turned, was it 70?
Yeah.
Hank turned 70 and Robin did five big sketches. He's a real artist, Robin.
I know. I've seen some of his art. Yeah.
Our house is full of it.
Is it really?
He did pictures of Hank. Hank worked on the waterfront. You haven't said what you did. Hank worked on the waterfront for years. And
here?
Yeah. Down at Neptune.
Of course, at Neptune there, you said. Of course.
But Robin's got pictures of him leaning back with his heart out, his feet up on the chair, and pictures of him barbecuing. And he did all these photos, and we put them up around for his birthday. We had it at Cheers.
We used to have, many years ago, when I was a teen, I worked at, it was called Japan Camera. And there was a Japan Camera one-hour photo finishing, if you remember. There was one in Lynn Valley Mall, and there was one in Capilano Mall. And they were both owned by this family who'd been interred during the war, a Japanese family named the Yamamotos. Naomi, the one of the women who ran one of the sites, actually became an MLA. She was the first Japanese MLA elected
was she
in
North
BC.
Town?
Yeah.
Yeah.
North
Didn't
Vancouver.
She have a health food store?
She had a health... her sister Donna had a health food
okay.
store.
Okay.
And so I worked for that family. They were fantastic. But back in the day, I mean, it was pre-digital cameras and stuff. Neptune had a big contract with Japan Camera. They were all, I don't know what they're taking pictures of, probably, you know,
booklets. They had
Whatever it is. But we did so many Neptune terminals things, like you would print the things. And how long were you at Neptune?
32 or 3 years, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So that's like the bulk of your career.
It is, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So prior to that.
I mean, it's still there. Yeah. You see the kind of that, well, how would you call that blue? It's not quite a teal, but it's something like that.
Yeah.
Like all the ways the things are painted and the. So here you are now. It is 2026, hard to believe.
It is.
This and you're about to have your 60th. Is there going to be a celebration?
I don't know.
Not up to you guys. Someone has to throw a party for you.
I'm going to make a cake and share it.
Good for you.
Share
it at church. That's wonderful.
We did one for our 50th. There was a party for us, and I made a three-tiered cake, and half the people there didn't know that it was one of my skills. I did David and Christina Duncan's wedding cakes. I've done lots
you did?
Of wedding cakes. Yeah.
I did their wedding.
Yeah. I know.
Was it at... No, I'm thinking of... Where did they get married?
At the marina.
Yacht Club. Yeah,
I'm thinking of a different friend that was up at Furry Creek. Right, that's right. Yeah. I think they got married in 1997, because I think it was around the same week that our son was born.
Yeah.
Because I remember they might have been among the first visitors, and I just done that way. But yeah. So you... Isn't it interesting how
I
this... The weeds...
Scott went out with...
Yeah.
Susan,
yeah,
and you know David,
I remember Susan,
and
too.
I know you, and
yeah,
we know the Duncans through all this. Yeah. I know David quite well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's such a steady presence himself, right?
Yeah.
He's been such a, but
and
so when would Susan have died? What year do you remember? Because I think
1988 or
yeah, I think it was. So I graduated 87. In 87, and it was right around. It was. I think it might. Yeah. It would make sense to me if it was the next year.
87 or 88. We went to the funeral, her funeral. And Scott says, who's next?
God bless you guys.
Yeah.
Well, it is, it's such a privilege to speak with you. We will always have this weeb name. There's not that many weebs in North Vancouver.
No.
You drive out to Abbotsford and there's too many weebs.
Yes.
That's right? Where he came that's from.
A lot
yeah,
of
so
my
that's
relatives
where they all
out
settled.
In Chilliwack. Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, there's quite a number of them. Some of them stayed back in Saskatchewan. And
yep.
His father was a dairy farmer out in the valley.
Oh, yeah. I went to this service. A friend of mine, his last name's Barkman, but he comes from this group. He left like three decades ago called the Haldimands.
Yeah.
It's like very strict Mennonites, kind of like extra, but Anabaptist background. And this guy, my friend's dad died. He was in his 90s. And I went to the Haldimand church for the funeral. Oh my goodness. First of all, there's a lot of weebs. But secondly, like talk about a rigid religious kind of system, right? Most of the weebs out in the valley, that's not that way anymore. They're going to some Mennonite church that might as well be a Baptist church or whatever. Or some kind of alliance church, but it's good to see some weebs on the North Shore, and there's not a ton of weebs in the United Church either.
Yeah.
So it's good to be together and to speak with you guys, and yeah, and thanks for you start talking about something of such sorrow and depth, and it becomes a big part of it. But one of the things that I liked, you tell the picture of Tracy sitting with you where you sit, and the realization for us that we are part of something bigger that has gone on before us and will go on after us. And I sometimes look at, I think I mentioned it yesterday at church, like it's not just us sitting in this room. There are people who've sat in these pews before us.
And you know, when you said that, I came home and I could see them all. Jack Harris and Betty Joffning.
That was I graduated with Tony, who was a good friend of Dave Duncan.
I'm friends with good friends with Betty, and I know her
I
kids.
I love that you just said I could see them all. That's my hope.
I could see them all. I could see the ones that were with the choir, used to have a choir loft up
yeah.
there, and I could see them all.
Somehow, in God's grace, we are seen that way, not apart from those we've lost. But together with and those who've gone on before us. And only then, I often refer to this, one of my favorite books, I'm not the only one, a book called Revelation of Divine Love by Julian of Norwich, written hundreds of years ago. But she was this novice nun. No, she wasn't really a nun, but she lived and young, and she thought she was dying. And she had these visions of Jesus, like particularly of the Passion, crucifixion. And she did die very young, but not at that time. I think she was in her early 30s when she died. And but she thought she was dying. She had a disease that should have taken her life before. And it's where you get this line that comes up in poetry and literature and stuff throughout history, that she says the one thing that all these visions showed her, and for many years it was like the biggest selling book in English other than the Bible, kind of thing. It's huge, huge circulation. She said the one thing that all these visions showed her is that all is well, all is well, all manner of things shall be made well. Yeah. And somehow you get to that after.
I could see them sitting in this where they sat.
Amen. So that we reach for that together,
yeah.
that strength, but the strength does not come from avoiding the sorrow or the difficulty.
Yeah.
And so thank you guys so much for your time. It's so great. There's so many more things we could talk about. We'll have to have like Weebapalooza part two. I have some editorial control here, so I will make sure that, you know, we didn't
get into us doing Bible studies and everything.
No,
reason I came,
yeah, I'd like to hear
to
that.
Church is I needed to know what's going on. Why is all this? What is life all about? And
so you didn't have a church background growing up?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. I of course did. And
Weebs do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you start attending which kind of Bible study?
Well, Robin led the Bethel.
Okay.
And what was the other Bible study that Donna Hardy and
The Bethel Bible, wasn't it?
I took it twice.
Yeah. So kind of a course too, like a
Yeah.
It was a 2-year course, and with my reading abilities, bless her heart, Linda Jacobson got me through it. She'd help me with the reading. And
Jean, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is interesting, these programs that we think, oh, there's just this thing the church is doing. And
yeah.
But that was for such a time as this for you.
Yeah.
Like at that time in your life, given what you'd faced, it was very, very significant.
Yeah, because when Tracy said,
yeah,
you know, keep going till you get out of it, what I did. And,
well, you've honored her well, and your son. And we say it, I know the Orthodox Christian tradition, right? Like pre-Catholic. When my dad died, my good Orthodox friend David Goa, who's kind of a Orthodox theologian, kind of well-known around the world, but he contacted me after my dad's sudden death and said, and then sent me a card and used it. The Orthodox use this all the time, said, he is now of blessed memory. Like the way that they live on,
yeah,
is of blessed memory, and not gone.
They were our blessings.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, thank you so much. We will do part two. Yeah. God bless you guys.